Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Nighthawk Radio. We own the night. Your host, Bootstrap, Stuff, Chicken. Hello, welcome to Talk Show Radio. Nighthawks Radio, we on the night. I'm your host, Coach Epps, along with Coach Coop.
Good evening,
everyone. Coach Coop, it's been a long, interesting week, huh? What do you think about the current events that's been taking place in the world of sports this week? Anything that jumps out at you specifically?
Get a chance to see it. They were up in Indianapolis, all the top stars from around the collegiate world, trying out for that NFL position, that number one position. And of course, with number one position comes money. So everyone was out there doing their best and putting on their fancy fluorescent gloves and tight shorts and new shoes, all to get a contract with the NFL coach.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, Coach. I mean, you know, the combines are hosted by Under Armour, and we just happen to be in the same city that Under Armour is based out of, which is Baltimore City, State of Maryland. What do you think about that?
I've got stock in the company, Coach. I'm doing well.
I hear that, Coach Coop. I knew you had an answer for me. What do you think about the combines right quick?
Well, yeah, I was kind of impressed, and I was kind of let down. It was like a different group of athletes this time around. I was looking at some of the time trials, and it just seemed that it was a little off compared to years in the past. And I was looking at some of the DL linemen. I mean, I don't know if that show that we had on steroids had an effect, Coach, but it seemed like those guys were a little bit smaller this year.
Yeah, the guys didn't seem to be from the same crop of guys that we had last year during the combines. But nevertheless, there's always some interesting events to take place in Indianapolis during the combines. You know, the same old usual coaches was there. But let me get my numbers right. I believe seven new head coaches that was there.
It was at least that. And if you got a chance to see, you had one old school coach. And he's one of my favorites, one of my heavy hitters. And that was Mike Singletary, all the way up in the rafters by himself. He was away from all the other coaches. He was doing the work himself, Coach.
Yeah, that was fun to see. What jumps out at me was the conditioning of some of the athletes that's coming out, Coach. Some that I thought was great as far as their conditioning and weight room habits, and some I thought was not so good. I'm looking at the linebackers and running backs with the 225 bench press, and we had the linebackers and running backs doing, you know, upper 30s, mid 30 range, and then we had the defensive linemen and offensive linemen. They was doing low 20s. What do you think?
I tell you, those coaches, those players, Coach, have been coming from different programs from around the country, as you know. And it seems like they've been focusing more speed as opposed to brute strength.
Yeah.
And, that seems to be the way to go. Maybe that's where the NFL is going this way. Because, you know, some of those individuals, I mean, it's very weird. You get a Fitzgerald in the group. Matter of fact, I didn't see anyone even came close to looking like Fitzgerald in the group. The one player that was number one, Crabtree, he has a stress factor. He didn't even perform. He may have a pro day. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation on whether he'll be number one. You know, of course, with number one comes a lot of money, a lot of endorsements and so forth. But he didn't work out, so there's a lot of speculation. But I don't know about you, Coach, but, you know, I can look at him and look at his performance on the field from past games. And, you know, I'd take that shot. I'd take that shot and bring him on board. I wouldn't even try to be concerned about him going through all the workouts and I bring him on my roster and let him heal and go from there. But there's a lot of speculation. As a matter of fact, some teams have probably even dropped him in their draft setup.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, Coach. Like I said, the combines kind of dominated the sports week this week. And what do you think about the free agency coming up in the NFL?
Woo! There's a lot of money floating, and a lot of people are losing jobs, Coach. I think Tampa Bay just dropped three or four of their players, and one of their Super Bowl players, Derek Brooks, he's gone. Reggie Wayne from Annapolis, he's gone. And, you know, here in Baltimore, they're looking at Bart Scott and Ray Lewis. I mean, comments have been made about them wanting to have that star on their helmet. You know, Ray's getting near the end of his career, and, you know, the money might not be there. I mean, I know Pashotti's looking for that hometown discount and maybe to get him to stay here. But as a matter of fact, yeah, the one year that Ray was hurt, Bart really shined. And he's new, he's young, he's fast, he's strong, and he could be the new Ray Lewis replacement.
It's something, Coach. Like I said, I'm looking forward to the week in football, and as always, it is what it is as far as the free agency. That's one thing I missed about old school football, Coach, when you see one of your favorite players join the team and you admire them. They was kind of there for that team for the duration of their career, and I kind of missed that, Coach. I mean, because it's kind of disheartening to look at your favorite football player right now, and he's been with, say, Baltimore, say, like Ray Lewis, his 13-year career in Baltimore, and then you look up and you see him in a completely different uniform. I mean, it loses some of his lackluster for wanting to be or stick with a team when you're trying to follow the player around the league also, Coach.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, Coach, because if it wasn't for free agency, you know, some of these players would be stuck on some of these teams getting mediocre pay. And just like anything else, Coach, if you go to a job or in the corporate world, for example, and you've got great talents and headhunters coming after you and they offer you more money and your boss is not giving it to you, then you got to look out for your family. And not to say that these guys have any problems as far as that's concerned, because they're making a hell of a lot more money than me, millions and millions of dollars, but you know, who was it, the T.O. that said he got to feed his family? I mean, you know, those kind of things take a drain on the public. But when it comes to free agency, guys got to shop around and put their wares, because, as you know, Coach, football is not a long-lasting career. It's not like baseball. You know, that rarity of playing 10, 15 years in the league, you know, you may see it in baseball, but, you know, running backs, life expectancies are running 8 to 9 years, and you know, the guys in the trenches are even less.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, Coach. Like I said, again, this is Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. Welcome. It's our Thursday night edition, as usual, on Sports Talk. This week's topic, Coach, a very interesting topic. This week's topic is, does the media put a negative spin purposely to sensationalize, glamorize, or put negative images on athletes? What do you think, Coach? Let's get started with our discussion of the week, which is the media, Coach. I mean, that's a broad topic. We can basically talk for hours about this.
No question, Coach. And you said a mouthful with that title. I don't even think I could say that, all those many words. But, you know, that's why you hate Coach. But there's no question. But if we look at, and I like to explore, since, you know, we are coaching women's football, even take a look a little further into women in the media, Coach. But as you know, media and sports have gone hand in hand way back in the ancient times, and it was political a lot of times. You know, you got kings and, you know, the best athletes, the Romans, you know, that was sport was there. You know, they advertised who was the best gladiator, who was the best runner, and eventually those kind of things develop into the Olympics and so forth. But, you know, politics, media, and sports all seem to run together from the beginning of time. There was always competition. There was always notice and humbug around the little villages. You know, who has the fastest runner? Who gets invited to the court, you know, to please the king? You know, and we've developed to the point where media is bigger, better, wider, and it generates income.
You're absolutely right, Coach. But let's get into some of the specifics on the topic. And, you know, we talked about shortly, briefly last week about Michael Phelps, our hometown hero here in Baltimore. And this past Olympics, Michael Phelps brought home 8 gold medals.
Right.
On the front of Sports Illustrated, he got so many appearances after the Olympics, and he was doing well. And then he got in a bit of a trouble over the past week, Coach. He got involved with the alleged marijuana incident with the bong. You remember that? We talked briefly about that last week. But what surprised me about that, Coach, is that negativity and the way the media attacked Michael Phelps relentlessly over and over and over again about a situation that was caught on a picture, and it was sent in, and the guy allegedly, they said he made $150,000 for taking that picture. And then this is what I'm saying. You're paying a person $150,000 on a picture on a celebrity to get some dirt on. And that would beg the question. I mean, are we just into the negativity of sports today?
I don't think it's the negativity of sports today. I mean, the media can turn you inside out. You know, there's always twists and turns. There's double talk. There's a spin. You know, the word spin has been used in the media for years. But, you know, it's kind of hard, Coach, to say allegedly when they get a picture of him with a bomb stuck up in his mouth. So, I don't know if that's allegedly. But, and it's kind of stupid if you would think so. But I can understand a couple of things. I've been in the community, and I've heard a lot of comments about, you know, the Michael situation. And, you know, here's a young individual who basically is young, 23 years of age, I believe. And, you know, for his early life, one, I guess maybe from eighth grade since he's been swimming, he knows nothing but to swim. I mean, he's in the pool all the time. If he's not in the pool, he's studying. If not in the pool, he's working out. You know, very little time to associate with other individuals to more or less be, I don't want to say be a kid, but that's basically what I am saying. He hasn't got a chance to do those kind of things because he's always working out. He's always in school, or he was at that time. So a lot of things that a lot of younger kids get involved early, he's getting involved late. Unfortunately, he fails to realize that people have camera phones. And people are looking to make a dollar. And, you know, just like the paparazzi, they're looking for that one shot. You know, they'll take hundreds of them, and they'll send them to all the tabloids. And it makes money, no question about it. Because we as a community of people want to know what's going on in other people's lives more so than our own. If I could sell a picture of you, Coach, doing some of the stuff. No, I'm sorry, but I'll go to another subject.
Well, Coach, like I said, you can sell a picture of myself, but we know it wouldn't be too many takers because I'm not famous or popular, Coach. But and the reason I use the word allegedly, Coach, is because he's not going to have his day in court because South Carolina, the state of South Carolina, declined to prosecute. So, you know, I just like to, even though he kind of admitted that it was a stupid mistake, I just like to use the word allegedly just to say that he really didn't have his day in court, and everything is from this point is being dropped. So, and plus, Coach, we're in the era of superimposed pictures. I mean, are we not? I mean, you know, I mean, I wasn't there. So, you know, I mean, to this day, even though he kind of sort of admitted it, I'm still going to just say allegedly simply because I wasn't there, Coach.
No question, Coach, but like I started earlier when we talked about media, and I said, you know, politics, media, and sports go hand in hand. The sheriff down in North Carolina, you know, obviously small-time market, he may be running for office, and if he can get his name out there that he's, you know, arrested Michael Phelps, and, you know, who knows what office he's running for, you know, and unfortunately for Michael that he's not pursuing any charges, but you know, the sheriff got his couple minutes of fame. And on the back side of that, you know, Michael Phelps is losing endorsements. Matter of fact, one of the people that stood behind him recently just dropped him, a group up in Canada. They were behind him initially, and then now they've dropped him as a sponsor.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. One small correction there. It was South Carolina, not North Carolina. But all Kalanas are the same to you, I guess.
Anytime I leave Maryland, Coach, everything looks down. I don't know I'm going south.
Point well taken, Coach. Let's get into it, Coach. Let's really try to get into some depth about the media and the negative spin purposely they put to sensationalize some of the athletes in a negative light. Let's take one of the favorite darlings of today, Pac-Man Jones. The Pac-Man Jones situation is, I'm not saying it wasn't warranted, Coach, of some of the negative publicity that he engaged in, but still, yet until this point, Pac-Man Jones is coming up on trial. He hasn't been convicted of anything, but the media prosecute people like he's been convicted and he's guilty of all these things that's been alleged about.
No question, Coach. I mean, we fail to realize that, you know, it's almost like a soap opera with the public today. These players are blessed with talent. Unfortunately, as we talked about before, a small number of them are coming from households that are neither one parent or no parents or abusive households, and they're able to flourish and find their way through sports to get out of that. But there's some things that are missing, and they tend to either bring that same crowd that was with them to the main stage, the arena, and unfortunately it's a bad element. So they're not getting proper advice as to how to carry themselves in life, and they end up doing dumb things, which translates them getting into trouble, and they, you know, making millions of dollars, as I said, and don't, you know, they think they're top of the world. We as people, some people put them as role models, and because they're in role models in a limelight, because that's probably why they played the game, because if they played in a stadium that was no lights, you know, nobody would come. So obviously it's a they want to be in that limelight, but they fail to realize they are under a microscope every place they go.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. It's almost, come on, we got to play devil's advocate here also. It's almost like they're guilty before the presumption of innocence, Coach. You know, I thought you was innocent to found guilty, and it's almost because they are famous, it's the opposite way around, Coach.
Well, that is true, Coach, but unfortunately, videotape, cameras, you know, you may not always hear the verbal translation, what transpires between individuals prior to an incident. You just see the photograph of them lashing out or someone taking a picture like with a camera phone or anything of that nature, or the person that they struck or involved with is speaking out. But you got to also remember, too, I mean, as those players, they put themselves in arenas fully aware, or should be fully aware, that, you know, they are going to be targets of people who want to come after them, stir up things, put them in a situation where maybe they might want to sue them down the road. And because when an incident happens, it just blows up, it catches them on film, and next thing you know, we're judging them in the media. And the media plays it over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Coach. But come on, let's keep it real for a second. It's the keep it real portion of the show, Coach. Let's keep it real for a second, and let me ask you this, Coach. Again, is it fair to an individual to be accused of something, not found guilty on it, and have public perception make you feel like you're guilty before your day in court? Is it fair to that individual? I mean, would you yourself want to be looked at in that manner? I mean, because let's keep it real, Coach. Anybody can wind up in any unpeculiar situation at any given time. And if you wind up in that situation, is it fair that people will automatically assume that you're guilty? Is it fair that you didn't even have your day in court before people passed judgment or assessment of all the facts on the particular case instead of just the biased facts to come out through the media?
Coach, we know it's not fair. As I said, we know it's not fair. You're innocent until proven guilty. But I think it's just the other way around, especially with people's notoriety. It's you're guilty until you prove innocence. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you and I, as just normal, you know, day-by-day people, we did something that standard would, you know, hold true for us. But when you elevate people to star status, role model status, the expectation is that you should know better, you should walk on water. How dare you do something like this, and it's uncharacteristic of you doing something like this. You're making millions of dollars, and you should carry yourself in a certain role. And once you stray from that, and like I say, with this is a visual medium today with the generation that's growing up, texting, videos, DirecTV, satellite now, quick print, camera phones, people with cameras, videos. I mean, sometimes I think people just carry them in the car just looking for something, videotape, so they can send it and sell it, like you, as you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct, Coach. I believe in everything you're saying. Don't get me wrong, but again, we're here to explore the different avenues and let people base their decision on their own merit. Another thing I want to ask you about that is, does positivity, you being positive, does it sell in the media today? I mean, let's face it, Coach, the good human heart stories, far as, you know, somebody doing something positive, far as an athlete, like we mentioned, Ward Dunn last week, buying homes down in the Florida for people who need assistance and don't have homes, and that's great. But how much airplay does that really get, Coach?
None, Coach.
I mean, compared to Pac-Man Jones going to Vegas and the club is being shot up, it is almost to the point that people don't even want to hear good heart, human heart interest stories anymore. They want to hear that negative spin that the media put on athletes. I mean, you know, let's face it, which one sells?
Well, we know which one sells, Coach. I mean, unfortunately, the media, I think we talked about this last week. The tragedy sells, like you said, the shooting sells, but those players that are doing positive things with foundations, you know, you may get a 10-second blurb. If that, on the local airways. And I think those are kind of positive things. And I said to you before, I get tired of watching the news, and every 15 minutes they're repeating the same stuff. And I know there's positive stuff going on out in the community. I think we'll be a better place for it. And the things that the players are doing, like we talked about, our players doing the chocolate affair down at with M&T Stadium, helping out with the homeless and generating more money than they've ever generated before. Those kind of events. We've got the Pink Ribbon Bowl coming up with the Komen Foundation and with the Gaddy Foundation. I mean, those kind of positive things need to be out there. But negativity sells, no question about it. And like I said, I mean, you take the Pac-Man Jones story, or take the
Terrell Owens.
It's controversy. Controversy sells papers. It sells media time. It's just people want to go. Just like you, if you want to go to a movie, if you were out. And there was the movie Gangster, the popular movie with Denzel, you know, a lot of shooting and all that kind of stuff. You had a choice to see that in My Three Sons or Little Women. What are you going to go see? You want to see them controversial.
Well, not in particular, Coach. Old Yeller comes to mind for me. I'm still impartial to Old Yeller, Coach. I still see that dog traveling across the yonders, Coach. But again, let me ask you. Remember the Heisman Trophy ceremony in New York, and they was doing a special on Tim Tebow of Florida, the quarterback. Great story, Coach. The things that he does for the community and the humanity that he shows in other countries, and it was a great story. But it's just, to me, that didn't get more airplay than some of the other players that were suspended for hanging out all night, Coach. It wasn't going to play that game. And these are the type of stories that, to me, that it overshadows all the good things that the athletes are doing, because you're right. Let's face it, they're doing a lot of great things. They're continuously doing things in the community to uplift the community and trying to be positive people in the community. But as long as you have a Terrell Owens, as long as you have a Pac-Man Jones, as long as you have some of the other what they call a media darlings of the NFL and some of the other sports, they're going to get more publicity than Tim Tebow. And what I'm saying to you, Coach, is that fair? We know it happens, but is it fair to these athletes to go out and do positive things? And it's almost putting a negative spin on it, saying that they have to go out and do something negative just to get the notoriety that some of these other athletes get. Because let's face it, the old credence in media is no publicity is bad publicity. Let's face it, Jerry Jones subscribed to that theory down in Dallas. He said all publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or good or in between. As long as the spotlight is on the Dallas Cowboys, I take it.
That's right, the old theory of the squeaky wheel gets the oil, Coach. let's face it. I mean, if you're in a market that you're not getting a lot of airplay, I mean, I agree with Jerry. I mean, because you want to promote your city, your team, and if the focus of all 50 states, news media is focusing on Dallas, you know, that's a wonderful thing, because they're getting airplay, they're getting sponsorship, because it's just like anything else. Readership. Newspapers want to know, you know, what's the readership? What's the subscription? How many people I got reading my paper? And that brings sponsors. Sponsors bring money. And that's, you know, the dollar bill speaks, talks, and it walks, it breathes. And everybody wants a piece of that. And if it means getting a picture out that's controversial, you know, it's going to make the airwaves.
Well, one thing we know about the dollar bill, Coach, is also elusive, because it's been eluding me for a number of years, and I think that dollar bill is still pretty fast in the community.
Well, we just need to get some controversy with you, Coach. I mean, we can stir up some stuff. You know, we get you in the news for doing something outrageous. Maybe we could get some blog time, some photos, send it out to TMZ, and maybe get you on there doing something, maybe look-alike contest or something.
Yeah, I understand, Coach. Let's get a little deeper with the topic of discussion tonight, Coach. With the negative media spin that sensationalizes in a negative way some of these athletes, Coach, what kind of impact, or do you think it has any impact on the youth of today to watch the media portray these athletes in such a derogatory way, Coach? Because let's face it, some of these kids might not be aware of some of the things that happen till they watch the negative stuff on TV. You know, I mean, all kids in the youth realm of sports are unaware about steroids and enhancement performance drugs and certain things, and the media plays these negative things, and they become aware of it. And then when they see their favorite athlete doing these things, let's face it, they can get misconstrued and say, well, maybe this is what I need to do to achieve that level, Coach. Or let's take a Terrell Owens sportsmanship. The same thing that happened in Philadelphia with Terrell Owens. Maybe one of these youth athletes of the day looked up to Terrell Owens, and all of a sudden he sees the disruption of the way things went down in Philadelphia, and then he goes off into Dallas to make even more money. Maybe they think that's the way they're supposed to be, Coach. I mean, don't you think it has some type of impact on youth?
Coach, we've talked about this on numerous occasions, and you know, and I quite frankly, I'm glad that Roger Goodell is heading up the NFL, because commissioners in the past have allowed this unruly behavior to go untaxed, and to have a player do outrageous things in the community and then turn around and play the following week, I think it's a travesty, because you know, it sends a bad message to the kids. In fact, that we were coaching,
because it sends a bad message. You know, we try to build them positive. There's a positive JPD program with the NFL, teaching them life skills and things of this nature, sportsmanship. And when you try to instill upon that, and you know, say, well, you know, you're not going to make it to the NFL with that kind of attitude. You know, nobody's going to put up with this stuff. You carry yourself a certain way. And then you see the NFL players doing this and performing on the field inappropriately, and nothing's done to them. It sends a bad message. It really does, and it makes it even more difficult. Well, it sends conflicting messages to the kid that you're trying to teach, especially at the early stages of learning the game of football we're talking about right now. It sends a bad message. It sends conflicting messages to them, and almost to the point where coaches around the country could have problems because the player can say, yeah, I hear you, coach, but I'm gonna do what I do. And that's a cancer on the team, no question about it.
You're absolutely right, Coach. So this is what I'm asking. Should the media play so much of this? Should the media show so much of this negativity? Because, like you're saying, that can be the spinoff that some of these youth athletes need to conduct themselves in a certain way. And this is what I'm saying is some of the backlash for the media purposely over-dramatizing and publicizing these type of stories on SportsCenter and some of the other sports network, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, can we just see a little more positive stories on here? Because I would rather my kid to grow up to be a Tim Tebow and this humanitarian things that he does for the world than for my kid to grow up with an attitude like Terrell Owens.
Well, I think the media just has to change their approach to things, Coach. As we said, you know, it's there are tabloids out there. It's like the Peyton Places or the soap operas on TV. You know, people set up, men and women watch soap operas, you know, for the tragedy. You know, whose child is this, or what's happening with Storm, or whatever the people's names on these shows. Not that I watch them, but they look for tragedy. It sells. I mean, you look for controversy. It sells. And media is going to, you know, they're going to exploit that. They're going to put that out there. You know, sometimes I look at sometimes baseball. And, you know, there was this time they used to show the teams going onto the field after a batter got hit. And you just watch the brawl. Well, thank goodness now they tend to turn the cameras off from that. And that's a positive because it sends a bad message to young kids growing up trying to play that game. But as long as the media thinks it sells, they will continue to do it. Would I like to see more positive stories out there? No question. No question whatsoever. And the sad part about it is I know a number of players, whether it be football or baseball, they have a lot of great foundations going on. And quite frankly, Coach, if I don't happen to see it on the news or they mention it during that one little miniature TV spot that they get a chance to do, I'd never know anything about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Coach. Again, this is Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. Talk show radio. If you have any questions of myself or Coach Coop here, you can call us at area code 347-826-7278. We would love to hear from you. Or we are watching the email. You can email us on the chat, and we can answer some of the questions you may have about certain topics. Or join in on the discussion that we're having today. And one thing that I want to go a little further, and Coach, I'm going to let you say what you have to say for the sponsorship. But well, one of the things I want you to think about while you're going over that, because you know I like to throw you under the bus from time to time.
Time to time, Coach.
I want your honest opinion on how do you think race plays a part of the media and how they also view the different races on the media. Do you think one race get more negativity than the next race as far as being an athlete? Do you think black athletes are looked at more closely than white athletes, Coach? That's something that you think about, but I'll let you go ahead and do what you have to do.
Well, as always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Coach, and I guess have several of them for participating with us and helping the Baltimore Nighthawks and the adventures to put some of the best clothing wear and nightwear. Where was my mind going? Some of the best clothing wear that they have out there for sports-related apparel. That's Flamini Wear, Coach, located in White Marsh, Maryland. For those who are looking for T-shirts and other sports apparel, check out Flambini Wear in White Marsh. Also, Velocity Sports Performance. For those looking for that competitive edge to enhance their sports performance, they're located in Mount Washington, Maryland. So if you want to get that extra edge, and as a matter of fact, we should add some of the people from the combine stop at Velocity Sports. They probably would have done a lot better. And for those just don't want to fight that traffic on the way home in the downtown area, you got a nice place to go. It's called Peace and a Cup of Joe, 713 West Pratt Street in Baltimore. For stop in, get a great cup of coffee, relax, nice atmosphere, and stay out of that rush hour traffic and feel more relaxed when you get home to your loved ones. And as always, Coach, of course, we've got that big fundraiser coming up with Coleman on March the 21st at Poly Western High School with a 1 p.m. kickoff. And again, that's the Coleman Foundation and with the B. Gowdy Family Center sponsoring a fundraiser for a cure for cancer. And if they bring one can, Coach, they get one ticket, one raffle ticket for a drawing toward a possible $10,000 football toss. That's right, one ticket, one person will be chosen at halftime to make that football toss. And if he's lucky, that's $10,000. And again, Coach, the proceeds go to the those foundations that I mentioned. And the more canned goods you bring, non-perishable items, the more raffle tickets you'll get. And as I said, that one lucky winner will be pulled, a ticket will be pulled, so that they have a shot at $10,000. I'm loading up my grocery cart as we speak right now. Matter of fact, I think I'm up to like two carts, Coach. But tickets are also available online at brownpaperticket.com. And again, that's March 21st at Poly Western High School for a 1 p.m. kickoff, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, we as always, we appreciate all the sponsors that help us out with the Baltimore Nighthawks, the professional women's tackle football team that yourself and I have the pleasure of coaching. And let's get back to the topic of the day, Coach. What do you think? Does the media concentrate on one race more heavily over the other? Do they prefer to put a negative spin on perhaps maybe black athletes over white athletes or white athletes over Hispanic athletes? What do you think, Coach?
Coach, quite frankly, I would almost have to say that they don't care who it is. If you're making the dollars, I mean, they went after Lance Armstrong, you know, the Tour de France winner. You know, they just went after Michael Phelps. They just went after the baseball players, Mark McGuire. So it's they go after anybody that's going to create a story. Now, how in-depth they go into the background of some of these players, you might see a difference there. You might see, you may not see that how they grew up, how they were raised kind of thing that we talked about earlier. But I think it doesn't matter to the media. I think everybody tends to get equal airtime because, quite frankly, if you make a lot of money in a spotlight, if you falter, if you do something out of the way, you're going to get picked up. I mean, look at Tom Brady. I mean, it was a speculation that when he broke his leg or broke his toe or something, they followed him off to his girlfriend's house. And even though there wasn't nothing going on, I mean, it's just the media. It's the paparazzi. It's the people looking to make money off of some of these players. When it comes to the race issue, just from my experience, and I could be wrong, but just from my experience, it just seems like they go where the story is.
And I agree with that, Coach, but come on. Let's keep it real time once again. Donovan McNabb, remember the episode with Donovan McNabb that thought he was more criticized as a black quarterback over, say, a white quarterback like Peyton Manning? Or Tom Brady, and I think he has some validity to that, Coach. Donovan McNabb has been criticized heavily, and we know how the media criticizes Donovan McNabb. But does he receive the same criticism that or lack thereof of a Peyton Manning?
Well, Coach, you know, in the town of Philadelphia, I mean, I don't care who's in there, but especially being a black quarterback in Philadelphia, that's a tough market to be in, no question about that.
But, I mean, that's a whole show in itself, black quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that's a topic maybe down the road, but is it unfair? Did Donovan bring some of this stuff on himself? Sometimes I think Donovan did bring some of those questions, that criticism on himself. Does Peyton Manning get it? Quite fucking no. Did John Elway get it? No. Did Randall Cunningham get it? Yes. Did Steve McNair get it? Yes. I mean, there's still a few of the old-time cronies that still have issues with black quarterbacks. They're still trying to convert them, but I think that the trend is changing, even with coaching, black coaches coming into play now. It's a slow process, but it is happening. Could it be quicker? Yes. But there's still that old boy network where, you know, only a certain few are allowed into this 32, 30, 40 team venue. But as far as the controversy and the media, it's no question. I think it's whatever is hot at that time. I mean, you could, yes, there's a difference. I'm going to tell you, yes, there's a difference between the Mannings and the McNabs of the world. But it's the media. It depends on what market it's in. It depends on what the story of the time is. I mean, because there's still teams out there that will gladly welcome McNabb. But I didn't see McNabb and some of the things that he does. Now, he may not have all the tools and weapons in his arsenal to generate that kind of criticism, but some of that is, you know, that's McNabb. I mean, you can see where he's just not focused.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Coach. Like I said, I'm trying to attack this topic from all angles here. You know, we try not to leave no stones unturned here on Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. We're trying to make the difficult possible, Coach, and we're trying to make the impossible possible. We're trying to do it all during this Isle Talk Show, Coach. So that brings me to my next Keep It Real question with you. You went in and raced about the media. We went in the advertisement of sensationalized negativity about the youth, Coach. The media itself, Coach, do you think we have to put so much airtime into negativity? That would be my question to you. I mean, okay, let's say Pac-Man Jones did get caught at the nightclub in Vegas and there was a shooting incident. Okay, we play that. Do you think we need to play it 24 hours a day for a week straight, Coach? Can it be toned down at all?
Well, I think it needs to be toned down, Coach. I mean, like I said to you before, I mean, that story could be the first part of the news, whether it's the news or the sports channel, and then you move on. And you don't need to come back to it two or three times on the same show. You're going to have some discussions with the local commentators to get their viewpoint on it, but that's all it is. It's their viewpoint. They don't have all the facts. They have about as much facts as you and I have. Otherwise, they would be doing an expose on the situation. But they have a limited amount of time to get a lot of information in. And I think they just need to just give the events where it took place, what will be transpired, and they'll follow up and do a follow-up on the story. I think it takes away from everything else is going out there. Like you talked about before, there's a lot of positive stories, and those are the kind of things that will only benefit the league. And I'm telling you, I just personally feel that, you know, positivity, positiveness brings out the best for any sport, and people will flock to it. But media will, because it sells, tragedy, they're going to bring it out, they're going to come and put that garbage on the air over and over and over and over again.
Well, Coach, like I said, this is a topic you can talk about for weeks and days because, quite frankly, myself, I'm tired of the negativity, Coach. Okay, you have to report it because you're a news station, you're a sports channel, but like I said, I think they need to tone it down just a bit, Coach. They need to get into the place where they mention it, but they don't sensationalize. I think that's two different avenues. I think they don't have to sensationalize it, because the more they play something over and over again, I think it sensationalizes the situation where youth at a young age are very impressionable and can miss. It can mislead them in a direction we don't want them to go and necessarily need them to go at a young age, Coach.
Oh, no question about that, Coach. I mean, like I said to you, my hat goes off to Roger Goodell. I mean, he's a hands-on kind of commissioner, and he wants the best image for the league. Unfortunately, David Stern is trying to do some of the same thing. I mean, because you got players like Iverson, you know, talking about practice. You know what kind of influence, that has on a young player? I mean, if you got individuals like that, high-priced, high-focused individual, and they make those kind of comments, the media's going to jump all over them. And that's not a black or white issue that, when it comes to that individual, Coach. That's just downright stupid. That whole role model issue, and, you know, it's failing to realize the influence and the toll of making those kind of comments. Can do to the league, can do to future players, can do have a backlash on future coaches or coaches dealing with players. To say the least, things need to change. But my hat goes off because we're talking football. My hat goes off to Roger Goodell. I mean, he not opposed to giving players a couple of shots, but after that, they move on. He cuts his ties and moves on. I mean, you can't give players time and time and time again, an opportunity to screw up. Everybody deserves a second chance in America, but a third, fourth, fifth time, I don't think we want to tolerate that, Coach, because it sends a bad message. People have to learn at some point, and these athletes are making millions and millions and millions of dollars, more so than the average person. The average people are, spending $200-$300 to take their child to the game, their wife, and buy a souvenir and parking and all this stuff, and he wants to come out and see a good game, a good, fair, tough, hard game, whatever it may be, and he's not even making anything close to what these individuals are making, and they want to see a good product.
Well, Coach, like I said, we're in a day and age, unfortunately, negativity sells, sex sells. Anything that's derogatory that the media can get a hold of and explicitly put out there to sensationalize it, that's what they do, Coach. Let's face it. I think as the media has a responsibility to report all news, I have no problem with that. But like I said, they can tone down on the number of times that they show the same negative view over and over and over. Because undoubtedly, Coach, it sends a subliminal message to the youth out here today. And that's something that I'm really concerned with, because I don't want that type of message being sent to the youth, because it takes so long to detox someone from those type of messages and get them on the good side of the road. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, no question, Coach. Like I said, we've had these sidebar conversations for years, and when we see these stories come out, it almost like it sets us back. 2, 3, 4 years, especially with players we're trying to develop into good players and have them focus, because it's about control. Our sports is a controlled collision, and it's a very dangerous sport, hard-hitting sport. So we have to have controls in it. If you have a loose cannon, and these kids look at some of these players who are loose cannons on the field and on a national stage, sends a bad message, and it just makes our job even tougher.
Yeah, it's a tough job by all means, Coach. But we're here to just simply get it out there and talk about it. That's why we appreciate the Blog Talk for asking us to do this show, because we're trying to get this type of information out there and create a healthy debate between people and bring up great conversation. And that's the only way we're going to, I guess, get the media to understand how we feel.
That's very true, Coach. And I think we need to go into make this show a two-part show, Coach. I like to explore even next week the women in the media and how the media views women's sports. We talked about this, about the play, the airtime that men's sports gets over women's sports. And I like to see that as a topic. Well, we continue this topic next week. Women in sports and the media, how the media perceive it, and how much talk about airtime and so forth, and go from there, because I think we need to explore that.
You want to explore the topic of women in sports, how the media portrays them, Coach? Is that what you're saying?
I think we need to how they're portrayed and talk about how much airtime their sports get, whether it be women's football, whether it be women's golf, whether it be women's horseback riding. I don't care. But I think we need to look at that because, you know, if we took a look at sports in general, if you took the stands and emptied, well, took all the women out of those stands, and we talked about this before, you know, 40% market share of people. I mean, that's a lot of merchandise. So if we took all them out of the stands and it was just a male-dominated sport, could you imagine how much money and revenue would be lost? So I think there's a market there, especially for, you know, our women's football, and we need to discuss that. We need to discuss, you know, what can be done, or is there a, well, we know it's a man-driven sport. Well, any sport's basically man-driven, but they generate more airtime than most women's sports. Every once in a while, you get a glimpse, and I get a kick out of watching they show women's softball at the collegiate level. It's something different. You know, you know, I see in baseball, you see women actually, you know, playing hard, making great plays, but media gives it very little airtime. But I bet you if the sponsorship was there, media time would grow. But I think it's a topic I'd like to explore next week.
Well, there you have it, Coach. You always seem to bring up the topic for next week before the end of the show, and here's the topic for next week. We're going to say men's sports versus women's sports and how the media covers both. Is it unbiased? Is it fair? Or is it just downright sexist, Coach? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, I mean, do people just prefer to watch men play sports over women? Let's ask the question. Let's get down to the bottom line, Coach. We're here to be tough, fair, and impartial. And remember, that's the way we're going to do it here on Nighthawks Radio, Coach. We own the night.
And I enjoy it, Coach. I think it's something we need to explore. And I'm not sure if we had any callers out there this evening, but we got a couple minutes left. But we'll put the number out again. And for those who are listening, feel free to give us a call and ask us a question or join in the conversation. Call us at 347-826-7278. Again, that's 347-826-7278. And again, you listen to Nighthawks Radio, We Own the Night. And we enjoy any kind of participation, general conversation, and dialogue.
Well, one thing to say to you, Coach, is I love the way you don't shy away from the tough questions. I got to rein you in sometimes, but you definitely don't shy away from the tough questions, and that's what I think the listeners want to hear, Coach. I think they want to hear honesty. I think they want to hear us tell it like it is, Coach. For the most part, I mean, people don't get that share of honesty out here in the world today. Everybody's trying to dress it up and put a skirt on it. And my granddaddy used to say, a pig is still a pig. No matter whether you put a skirt on it, it's still a pig, Coach.
That's very true, Coach. And I think, you know, we're not bound by the corporate media as to what we can and cannot say. And I know we keep it realistic, and we stay within boundaries, so we won't get sued because I don't have any money. I just spent all my money buying canned goods so I can go to this game on the 21st. but we try to keep it to the point where at least we attempt to try to keep it to where it generates true dialogue to how the common individual out there is thinking. And as always, like I said before, we like to hear from others and hear what they're thinking to give them a venue, an opportunity to speak and talk about this subject matter, because I know people have opinions, and this is a place to share them.
You're absolutely correct, Coach, and that's why again I'm always going to thank the Talk Blog Radio for giving us the opportunity to even express ourselves, Coach. I mean, because let's face it, sometimes you want to express yourself and don't have a form or venue to do it, and we have a great talk show here on Talk Blog Radio, and I'm just overwhelmed with thanks. To be able to express ourselves on this venue on the various topics that we have been creating and going over from week to week, Coach.
That's true. I mean, my hat says we, you know, I'm always grateful for this venue and for the callers out there listening, those blog talkers out there listening. If you got a subject matter that you think you might want to have some discussion, feel free. Give us an email. Email us. Give us your topic that you'd like to have us discuss and talk about. We'd be more than happy to look into that and move with it. This show is about dialogue, and it's about opinion. It's about open discussion. It's about open thought. And it's about trying to bring understanding and give you an opportunity of voice to get away from the local traps of local TV and print media. So here's the opportunity to speak and not being cut off. We don't have someone to come in and cut you off, and we'll hit that delay button in case you say something inappropriately. So it's all live, but we do just ask that you respect whoever's on the line that talks and be cordial.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. I think you said it all when you said that. I just want to right quick chime in and give you something else right before we go off the air here. I want to ask you this, Coach. We was talking about the NFL combines this week. We were talking about the NFL trade deadline, which is tomorrow, Coach, Friday, around the league, Coach. Let me ask you this. Do you think professional athletes, and this is going to be a topic in weeks to come, do you think professional athletes make too much money, Coach? Do you think they're overpaid for the job that they do?
No, they're making more than me, Coach. Well, quite frankly, I think, yes, I do. They make money. I mean, there's a limit. And we can have this discussion because I know that the owners are breaking in money. But there needs to be a livable wage. I mean, these guys put their bodies through a tremendous lot of pain and they go through a lot of stuff to a sport they chose. But at the same time, when it gets to the point where ticket prices are so outrageous that the common man can't take his family out to the game and enjoy it, I think some things need to change. I mean, where else can you go and make that kind of money doing something you love? You know, that's a plus because we talked about the retirement doesn't last for so long. But when you hear, like we alluded before, when you had gentlemen talking about the T.O. said, I got to feed my family, and you're making millions and millions of dollars, come on, give me a break.
Well, maybe his family eat million-dollar steaks, Coach.
I like to find a place to sell million-dollar steaks. You know, they sell the Kobe steak, but that only costs for so much, and you can't eat so much red meat.
Yeah, because we definitely know that with the type of money T.O. makes and have made over his career, he definitely can find a place to feed his family, Coach. So I think they're being a little presumptuous when they say or make comments like, you know, they're just trying to feed their families, because it kind of makes the rest of us feel like, well, what are we doing wrong?
Well, I just think it's a travesty. Not a travesty, but, you know, the salary, some of it is warranted, but there's a limit. You know, there's a limit. I mean, where else can you even play 8 games and make $1 million? I mean, hell, if I had that kind of job, I'd be playing sports too. But there should be a limit, and the savings should be passed on to the people who come out to see the games. You know, I mean, there are a lot of young kids that want to see the games, have great prospects, and watching and learning, but it's difficult for them to do that with paying outrageous prices.
You're absolutely right, Coach. Like I said, we'll explore that topic and in the future. And like always, we appreciate your comments and points of views. And remember, you can call in with your point of view or comments. It's your opinion is welcome here, Coach. And remember, there's no good or bad opinion. It's simply your opinion. Thank you and for listening to Nighthawks Radio. We on tonight. Thank you. God bless and see you next week.